Yeah, we're picking up tonight's Mishnah, Nun Vav Amid Beis, at the very, very top of the page. The last line's a Nun Vav Amid Aleph, the last of the three words. Just introduce one more line from the Mishnah, and then we'll start off with the Gemara tonight. You know, to you a listim and a listim achayavim. The Mishnah spoke about a case where if the listim actively are mosi, they take out the animals from the corral of the owner, then the listim achayavim, those listim achayavim are responsible for the damages that those animals are going to cause subsequent to their freedom. So the Gemara points out, and now we're just flipped the page in the Nevavim and Beis, the Gemara points out, pshita, that makes that's totally obvious, that point. It's kevin that afkua, once they take the animals out, the animals are sown, are standing in their rishus already. They took the things out. Rashi points, excuse me, l'kol mili, in all regards, it's standing in their rishus. Rashi notes on the top of the page, ika meshicha, first of all, you have a meshicha. They actually took the animals and hotiua, they took them out, they drew them out of the thing. Vishinui rishus. And you have a change of physical possession over here. It used to be in their house, and now I'm walking away with it on my own. Hezi kinuya l'kol mili, as Rashi points out, in terms of the halachas of Geneva, once you have those two things going on, both a kinyan was made and a shinui rishus, so then it sounds like it should be obvious that the stone that belongs to the ganavim, and they should be responsible for anything that takes place to or with them at that stage in the game. Now Tosis points out, the top toes on the page is a little bit on the long side. Tosis discusses a bit over here what exactly the source of that idea is. In other words, the Tosis is bothered by is the bottom line is, right, that it doesn't really belong to the listim that took them out. Mehechatesha, how exactly do we know what is the svar to say that the listim themselves are going to be chayiv for the nezek when it's not their animal? They're supposed to give it back, etc. And so there's a long discussion to try to point out what the problem is, in other words, why that's not so obvious. But eventually what Tosa says is a relatively simple svar over here, towards the bottom of the Tosa. It says that the svar basically is that since the ganav right now is in control of that animal, and the actual owners don't have any control anymore, the person who's in control, he's the person who's going to be responsible for any kind of nezek. It's going to be his ultimate responsibility for what it calls for that. Or, as Tosafot points out alternatively, at least additionally, there's another svar over here, that a ganav is chayiv when we call onsim, and if anything happens to the thing while it's in his rishus, before he gives it back, he's chayiv to pay for that. There's no such thing as an accident took place. Whoops, sorry. Now I don't have to give this thing back. You're ganav, you have to return it no matter what. Therefore, Tosafot points out, once that's the case, that they're so incredibly responsible for that animal, we consider them basically like a form of bialim, a form of owners over that animal. They have an extremely high and intense relationship with the thing that they just stole in the eyes of the halacha, and they're going to be chayiv to it. But that's the Gemara's opening question. So I don't understand the chiddush of this mission over here. What, isn't it obvious that if the guy stole the sheep, that he's going to be responsible to pay for that sheep afterwards? So the Gemara explains, and we get into a very important discussion over here, that there are actually a couple of important chiddushim that are going on. Lo tzricha, what's the case necessary for? The kamula ve'apa. The case is, the Gemara says, initially, we're going to change this around, perhaps a little bit later, that kamu la be'apa, if the listim, the ganavim, are standing in front, in the face of that animal. Rashi points out the significance is, okay, as the words basically imply, they never actually physically grabbed the animal, they didn't take the animal and pull it out of the corral in the slightest bit. All they basically did was just, they directed the animal. They're standing here and the animal was walking. He realized, okay, I can't get past him. The animal turns this way. And the next ganav is standing over there and the animal can't go that way, so he goes out. And eventually, by just standing in the right place and basically placing picks over here as the animal is walking around, the animal ends up going out of the thing. And there, the Gemara says, the chiddush is that since you directed it out, but you never even actually were in contact with the animal in the slightest bit, but you basically drew or led, again, without touching the animal, but you drew or led that animal, oh, hold on 1 second, you drew or led the animal to whatever area was that it did the nezek, so your response from the Gemara gives a paradigm, an example where we find that. Ki hodo amar rabba amar rav masna amar rav. We have a halach that says as follows. Hamamid behemas chaveira al komas chaveira chayav hamamid. The Gemara says like this. The rule is that hamamid behemas chaveira al komas chaveira. I take an animal that I'm mamid, I stand my friend's animal in front of someone else's field, someone else's stalks of grain, without saying it, but the pashtus is that the animal ends up eating those stalks of grain and causing a nezek. Now Rashi points out at this stage in the game, when we read that statement of Rav, it sounds like when you're mamid the animal in front of the grain and it's eating it, mamid means you're actually grabbing the animal and sticking its face in the grain and basically pushing it to eat. The Gemara points out, pshita, isn't that obvious that you're chayiv, you took the thing and you shoved its face into the grain? No, lo tzricha dekom leba bi'apa. So Rav once again said the same halacha. The chiddush is, if kom la bi'apa, if you're standing in front of its face, you didn't actually take the animal and shove it on top of the grain and make it eat, you just stood around over there again and directed the animal over to the other person's field, you're going to be chayiv to pay for that. And the same exact point is true over here in our case. Hotziua listin means that the listin directed without actually touching the animal over to wherever it was that they went and ate. That's the first pshat over here in the Gemara. And you raised the point about grumble, we're going to get to that in a couple of minutes. Certainly a very, very fair question. Before we get up to that though, there's one other major discussion that's had by the Rishonim over here, found it starts off in a Tosfos, the Tosfos of Maschal, Mamad Behemes Chazero, Al Kamas Chazero, Yer Chayv. Okay? Now, once again, a reminder, the case basically is on a partial level that it's not my animal, I'm just coming, as the Gemara eventually explained, and I'm directing this animal directly to someone else's stuff. Thereby, right, you can bring the horse to water, but you can't make it drink, but I encourage it to drink, I tempted it to drink. My fault that it actually drank the other guy's stuff. So I'm going to be chayiv. The Tosfos says like this, what am I chayiv for? What's the av nezek, and under what category does this actually fall out under? The Tosfos says, first of all, there's one level of chiddush over here, that even though it's not my animal, that I'm still responsible for it. And the Tosfos points out that he's under the impression but the av is a plain and simple classic av of shame. The animal's eating the thing, right? That would be the quote-unquote simple pshat of it, although we're going to see that most Rishonim don't agree with that. I led the animal now sees the food in front of it, it goes and eats, so very good, it's shame. Now, there's a chiddush in that, Tosfos points out, because if you remember, and I'm hoping you remember, the psukim, when they speak about shame, what was the lashon? Right, the shilach es, and what does that mean literally? You send out what? S-B-E-R-O. What does that mean? Right? His cattle you sent out over there, right? So Tosfos points out, doesn't that seem to imply that the only time you're chayiv for shame is if you're negligent with your own animal, not if you took a stranger's animal? And again, just to emphasize, in Rav's case over there, Mamid, Behemas Chazero, Kamas Chazero, you're not robbing, you're not stealing your animal. It's not like the case that we began with in the Gemara. You just, it's his animal. You just say, oh, you're playing a practical joke. You push the animal over there to go eat the thing. It's not really his. Nevertheless, Tosfos says, since you're doing the action, you're pushing the thing in that direction, you are held responsible. Okay? Tosfos gives an example for that. Let's say somebody lights a fire. Okay? Somebody lights a fire, and I then go and take somebody else's stuff, put it in the line of fire. Right? I'm responsible for Aish over there in that case. It's not my fire, it's not, that's true. But nevertheless, if you're the one who did it, you are still going to be responsible. Tosfos says now like this. Tosfos says it like this. But don't tell me that we're dealing with an av nezek of. Tosfos gives the example of Aish over here. What's the av nezek of Aish, right? Where would there be Aish involved when I'm taking my friend's animal over to the grain to encourage the animal to eat? Since, well, the way Tosfos describes it, he uses an expression, it's bari hezeka. There's a clear source of damage over here. By pushing the animal in front of that food, I pretty much know that it's going to eat. It's similar to the idea, use the word consumed, right? So you can use, there's a parallel word, consumed by the fire, consumed by the animal. I'm pushing the animal to go and consume that thing. Maybe you think there's a form of aish or something like that, falling under a category in a loose kind of a sense. Tosfos says it can't be. Why can't it be? So Tosfos here is where we get into a very big discussion. Tosfos says no. How do I know it can be? Because if it's Aish or some other Nezek, then the rule would be that you're Chayiv even Bereshus HaRabim. Even Bereshus HaRabim. Tosfos says, but we know, don't we know, Tosfos says, that any time an animal eats something, right, whenever it's eating something of somebody else's, the halacha is that Shein Bereshus HaRabim is always going to be Potter. It doesn't make sense, therefore, to say over here, when I have an animal eating something out in the street, that I'm going to be Chayiv to pay Shein when the animal eats. In a Rosh Hashanah, you're always going to be potter. So that's why Tosfos says like this. To summarize what we just said, The av nezek that you're guilty of causing over here is the mazik of shame. That's the rule. Says Tosas, the ramification of that is the only time I'm actually going to be chayiv to pay, right, is if I'm directing the animal to my friend's field when it's in his actual field. But if I'm in a rishus a rabbin and he just has a bag of apples that's sitting out in the street and I push the animal over there and the animal eats, then already I'm going to be potter because I fall under the category of shame. Now you take a look in the Gra in Oz Aleph. The Gra quotes a very, very quick line about a Rajba Pasak the Chayiv. The Rajba Paskins that know that you are Chayiv when you're Mamid Behemas Chaveiro, Al Kamas Chaveiro, in a rishus a rabbin. Says the Rashba, you're still chayiv to pay for that. Why are you chayiv to pay? The Rashba is a very interesting kiddush. When you took the animal and directed it over there and caused it to eat, it's not shame that the Rashba says, but rather it's adam hamazik. You're the one doing the damage. The fact that you didn't take an axe and start hacking away at the stuff doesn't change the fact that it's your fault. You took the animal, you pushed it there, you caused it to eat. It's no different than an axe that's hacking away at the stuff. The same way the axe is not literally your hand that's sitting there smacking it, some utensil. You're using an animal to be an axe over here. The fact that it was eaten by an animal doesn't really alter the fact that Rashba argues that you're the one who destroyed the thing. And that's why the Rashba argues that this is an av mazik of Adam, and you're going to be chayiv in a rishus harabim. We're not dealing with Shane anymore, like Tosas says. That is a very significant machlokas between the Rashba and the Tosas over here on this Gemara. That's stage number one over here. We're okay with that? Yeah, right. Says the Gemara like this. Now we ask a question. Omele Abai Rabbi Yosef, Abai comes along and asks Rabbi Yosef, I don't understand. Hey, Kisha Amrisman, you said to us, hey, Kisha, if you smack the animal, what does that mean? So Rashi explains what that question is being, well, that's being asked is basically, we had a halacha, we just quoted a halacha, that man bid behemas chaver, kamas chaver, was chayiv to pay. If you remember back, and again, you'll see the things again when you're chazering, the Gemara initially thought that that rule of man bid behemas chaver, kamas chaver, meant that you're physically dragging the animal over to the food, making the animal eat. The Gemara asked, isn't that pshit? Of course you're chayiv for that. Your mom is doing it with your own two hands. So the Gemara said, no. The kamulah be'apah, the cases where you're standing in front of it and moving it along without touching it at all. Abai asked Rabbi Yosef, that's not the pshat that you had said. The pshat you had said in the halacha was, hey, Kisha, if you smack the animal with a little whip or the little stick, cause the animal to jump, to run out of the thing, and you directed the animal, that's true, you set it in motion by giving it the smack with the whip, but you actually physically had contact, you touched the animal when you had smacked it. Now, actually one more line in the Gemara, I'm going to finish up, and listim nami, the Gemara says, the same thing could be true in our case in the Mishnah, the way we got into this discussion. The listim, who are taking the animals out of that corral that we said are chayiv to pay, and we originally asked, isn't it pshita that the listim actually physically are taking the animals out, that they're ganavim, and the animals become in their rishus, and they're chayiv to pay? The pshat in the Mishnah is also, he kishua, as the Gemara says. No, they didn't actually physically drag the animals, they smacked it with a whip. But the chiddush is that takes the place of an act of mishicha. That's enough already to make the animals considered in the rishus of the ganavim, and they're going to be responsible to pay. Now, you have a machlokas over here amongst the Rishonim, really. You had to understand the last two lines of the Gemara over here at this stage in the game. The Lechem Mishnah points out in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Nizkei Mamon. He's medayik in Rashi over here, but this is also a sheet of the Rambam. In other words, even if whether or not Rashi says it or not, but the Rambam definitely says like this, at which basically touches upon your question. The Rambam in the Lechem Mishnah wants to claim that this is Rashi's Shita also, feels that Abaye is coming along to argue on the original pshat that we gave in the Mishnah. Originally we thought to say that you're chayiv, you're kam lo be'apav, you're standing in face of the animal, directing it without touching. You stand here, make the animal go there, you stand there, make the animal go run in the other direction. And according to the Rambam, and again, arguably Rashi as well, what Abai is basically asking is, you're not chayiv anything if you did it. That's called a grama, as was pointed out before. You're causing the damage, that's true, but you weren't physically involved in the slightest bit. The fact that you're standing there, that doesn't make you chayiv at all. So So Abaye is arguing over here, according to the Rambam, that in the case of Kamu Lo V'Apah, you are absolutely not going to be chayiv. The only time you're going to be chayiv to pay is if you took the whip and you whipped the animal a little bit, and you let the animal go running in whatever direction. Since you did something to the animal, then already, as Rashi pointed out, that's called a meshicha. That's called that you made a kinyan, even though you didn't grab the animal with your hands and pull it out. And that's enough to make you chayiv to pay. But anything short of that is not going to work. The Ravid himself, on that halacha, Perek Dan halacha Gimel, Chulchas Nisus Kemamon, argues on the Rambam, and the Ravid says no, that Abaye is not arguing on the previous Ukimd, on the previous understanding of the Gemara. Abaye is just coming to add something else, that yes, it's true that Kamu Lo V'Apah is going to be chayiv to pay, but the truth of the matter is there are other examples where he chayiv to pay also, even in Kisha, if you smack the animal with a whip. That was the earlier pshat that we saw it in the Mishnah. And yeah, we're saying a bigger chiddush over here, that Kamu Lo V'Apah is also considered enough to be mechayiv you to pay for the actions of that animal. So that's the first chunk of Gemara over here in a nutshell. And after that, the Gemara's get into now for the rest of the night into a lot of different discussions. Our goal, by the way, tonight, we're going to get up halfway, maybe a little bit more, into Nunzayin Amud Aleph. Gemara's are not, you know, the Gemara's are actually not incredibly difficult tonight, so we're going to try to cover a little bit more ground. And then, we'll see how far we can get up to by whatever the end of time actually is. Now, the Gemara says like this. The next case was Misara L'Roeh Nichnas HaRoeh Tachtav. The next case in the Mishnah was that if you give over the animal to a shepherd, the shepherd stands in place of the owners, ostensibly saying that the shepherd is going to be chayiv for any damages that the animal actually causes. The Gemara asks like this. Amri, we said, Tachtav Deman. Who is the shepherd standing in place of? What are we trying to express in the Mishnah? Ilema Tacht of the Baal Behema. If you're going to tell me that the Mishnah is telling me, which is the obvious pshat, that the Roeh is standing in place of the owner. That's the way we read it when we read the Mishnah. That's the way I just explained it now. That's the most simple understanding of the Mishnah. That the shepherd now is responsible, just like the owner. Says the Gemara, that can't be the pshat, though, because Tanino Chadazinu, we already had that in a Mishnah earlier. There already was a Mishnah that taught us, and that's Memdagar Amadez, and that's Memhamad Alas, the star of the Shomerchinam, the Shoel, Menosei Socher, Velasocher. If you give over your animal to a Shomerchinam, or you lend it to someone wants to borrow the animal, or to a Shomer Socher, you're paying someone to watch it, or you rent your animal to somebody else, Kulam nichnasu tachas abayim, any one of those shomrim stands in your place, they are responsible for anything that the animal does. So if that's the case, then it's equally obvious that the shepherd, who's nothing more than a glorified shomer socher, that's what he's doing. I'm paying him to watch my animals to be a shepherd. We know the shepherd is responsible for any nezik that the animal causes. So what's this Mishnah, the sixth parak, coming to teach us that we don't know from the Mishnah earlier on Daf Nemei? So says the Gemara like this, a very interesting Kiddush, and this gets us basically up until the two deaths. Ella, so rather, Tachtov de Shomir. The Kiddush that we're trying to add over here is like this. Once we already learned earlier that if you give your animal to a Shomir, whatever kind of Shomir it is, the Shomir is responsible for the nezek that the animal causes. Now we're adding something else. That if the Shomir gave over the animal to a second Shomir, okay, that, as the Gemara continues to explain, the Shomer Kama is Iftar Leila Gamrei. The first Shomer, the guy that you gave it to, becomes totally exempt for any responsibility from that animal. He's passed it over to somebody else. The second Shomer is now the guy who is held responsible for whatever it is that the animal is doing. And the Chiddush is, as we're about to see, that is a very, very major machlokas in Perek HaMafkid, in the third Perek in Bava Metzia, whether or not, when you're a shomer or something, you give it over to somebody else, are you considered a negligent shomer by handing it over? Here we're trying to bring out the Chiddush that if the shepherd passed over the animal to somebody else, he's off, he's scot-free. The new guy is the person who's going to be responsible and not the original shomer. Says the Gemara, there's a lot to talk about in that line. Also, I just want to get the basis of the Gemara down pat. Again, new Bava on base for those who have not been with us for the past little while. Says the Gemara like this. Lema, let's say over here that Tiyuvta de Rava. This sounds like, the way you're analyzing the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is a disproof on the sheet of Rava over there in Perek HaMafkid. Okay, if you look on the side, they pointed us at that. Falam Ravim Bavim Mitzia. The Omer Rava, Rava had taught us that Shomer Shemosar LeShomer Chayiv. Rava's Shita is that one Shomer gives over the item that he's supposed to be watching without permission of the Mafkid. If he gives over it to somebody else, he is Chayiv. Now, as the Gemara's point out over there above Mitzia, Chayiv means no matter what happens to that animal, if it was an Ones even, something that he would not have been responsible for had he been watching it, he is Chayiv to pay. The Gemara explains over there, let's see if you know any, a little bit of a masker. There's two different reasons that the Gemara gives for that idea. Why does Rava say the Shomer Shemar to the Shomer is Chayiv? But both put two svaras that are there. One, the most obvious one is, huh? Okay, but the Gemara time is back. That's, but he can just say, so I gave it to a responsible person. I was responsible. In other words, I'm a Shomer, right? I put it in a safe to watch. I'm irresponsible when I put it in a safe. I don't just sit and hold it the whole time. I gave it to another showman. He's a nice guy. The JEC, he's a nice guy. He can be responsible, yeah? Might not show up tonight, Seda, but he's responsible. What?
That actually wasn't an owning.
Huh?
That actually made up that the showman wasn't an owning, so
his party
didn't do
it. Except that they're watching the JEC. No. What do you mean? I gave it to a responsible person.
Well, if you're not, you got damage.
The damage, again, if the person was Poshaya, right, I would have been chayiv for that also. That's true, right? But by giving it to a regular, normal person, I can tell you that he shouldn't have done anything wrong. So the Gemara Tain is like this. The Bailim, the Masket, have a right to say one of two things. Either one phrase that the Gemara uses is Ein Ritzoni Shiyehe Pigdoni Biad Achir. I never wanted my thing to be in somebody else's hand. I like you. I know you. I trust you. I gave you a thing. I wasn't interested. You can't quit in the middle of a job. The reason why I didn't even ask that guy in the first place is because I didn't want to ask him to watch my thing. Right? By giving it to somebody else, you betrayed my trust, and you're going to be held responsible. Or the Gemara points out an alternative idea, and there's a question how much these two things work hand in hand, that sometimes he knows when a shomer is going to be potter, depending on the exact case, the shomer has to take a shavua. He has to swear in a bezin that he didn't do anything wrong. He has to take three different kinds of shavuas that the Gemara explains over there above the Mitzvah. The masket has a right to say, listen, I understand, he's going to swear in bezin that he didn't do anything wrong. But who says I even trust this guy? The Gemara is in line, and mehem nesli b'shvua. You I trust if you're going to swear in bezin, you didn't do anything wrong, fine, I don't care about it. But the other guy, who is he? Well, why should I be listening to his shvua? So Rava comes along and says, a shomer, shemasar, l'shomer, is chayiv. You gave it away, you were the one who was supposed to be watching it, now the Bailam have whatever tainas on you that they have, you're chayiv. The problem with that is, of course, that our Mishnah seems to have just taught us that if the Shomer gives the thing over to somebody else, the second guy is the one who's chayiv, not the first. Right? That was the pshat that we said in the Mishnah. The Rav explains back like this. Omer lecha Rava, Rava says to you, my mesoro l'roa. What does it mean when it says, if you give it to the shepherd, right, the second guy, he's chayiv, l'barzile. Rashi translates, that means you gave the shepherd or the shomer gave over the item to his apprentice. You have a big shomer guy, professional shomer. He has lots of professional shepherd. He has lots of little shepherds that he's training. As the Gemara explains, urche de rowit, the norm of a shepherd, lemimsa le barzile, to give over the animals that he's watching to his apprentices. He's not going to be responsible for all the thousands, let's say, of sheep that he's watching by himself. He has a whole business going on. You give it to me. It's understood that I'm going to give it to somebody else. So, yes, it's true. There's a chiddush over here. Even though that guy is not the actual person that I gave the animal over to, but, nevertheless, he's going to be the one that's responsible, not the boss, Roa, because it's acceptable for the boss to pass it over to his kids, to his tamidim, to his apprentices. And that's the ultimate reason why you're going to be potter. Ika da ami, the Gemara says, others explain the same idea, but in a slightly different direction. We start off saying like this, midikatani mesaro l'roa. From the fact that the Mishnah speaks about a case of delivering the animal to a shepherd, v'lo katani mesaro la'achir. It doesn't speak in the Mishnah about giving it to someone else. It gives a very particular case. Shema mina, so we can infer from there, my mesaro l'roa, what does it mean you're giving it to a shepherd? The case is that the shepherd guy, the shepherds, like we explained before, are commonly have their little guys that are working for them. The shepherd gave it over to his apprentice. The urche de roa la mimsa la barzil. It was totally normal and assumed that if I give it to a shepherd, it's not going to stay in his possession forever. He's going to give it down to the little guy. Aval, but here's now the point. We're supposed to be medayik from the Mishnah, but la'achir lo. But had I given it to Stam, a regular person, that not a shepherd, who I understand has a business and he's going to give it over to someone else to watch. I give it Stam to my friend to watch. He would not be allowed to pass it over to somebody else. And in the event that the first shomer gave it over to a second shomer, and then the thing goes out and does damage, who are the bailim going to come and claim the money back from? From the original shomer. Like the original shomer messed up over here. So says the Gemara, well, that's not necessarily true. Lema misay, excuse me. So lema misayay leilav. Scratch that. Back up there. But to another person, you wouldn't be the second shomer. Wouldn't be the one who's responsible. The first one would be responsible. And lema misayay leilav. Let's suggest that supports what Rava said. The Amar Rava, because we know Rava taught us there in Perek Maska, that shomer shemasu l'shomer is chayev. A regular guy gives it to his friend when he wasn't supposed to do so. He's chayev to pay no matter what. Amri, the Gemara says back to that, no, you can't prove anything from here, because Dilma, Urcha, the Milsa, Katani, maybe the mission is just speaking about a normal, average case where a guy might give it over to somebody else, but maybe Hua Din La'achir, but maybe the same halacha would be true if another person, a regular shomer, Joe guy, gave it over to somebody else to watch in his stead. Maybe the second shomer would be the one who was chayiv, not the first, and you can't necessarily be medayik all that much from our mission. Now, without going over the Gemaras again, which there's no real need to, you do that when you're in the base matters, you should be aware there's a very big machlokas amongst the Rishonim how to understand this idea when I give the animal over to a shomer, which was the original discussion over here, that the shomer is chayev for the nezikin of the animal. Why is that true? There's a Rashba over here on our daf over here, Nuvav Mebeis. The Rashba explains basically that the concept is that the shomer is being looked at as, and again, this is the more pashup shot, that's why we're starting off with this one, that the shomer is viewed basically as the bailim, the owners, the ones who's responsible for the animal. Any damage that gets done to the nizak, whose fault is that damage? It's the shomer's fault. Why do you pay? You were supposed to be watching the animal, you didn't, you pay. Right? Very, very simple. He assumes responsibility, even though he's not the technical legal owner of the item. But a shomer has the role of the owner since he's the guy that's being shomer over the animal. That's the explanation of the Rashba. There's a Tosas on that from Mimheim and Aleph. Tosas seems to have a very, very different explanation. The truth is Tosas is a little bit tricky. What Tosas basically seems to say is as follows. Now the truth of the matter is the shomer is not responsible to the nizik. He's not the owner. It's not his business. The problem is, though, like this. I'm watching your thing, right? The shore goes out and does whatever damage it's supposed to do. The nizik now has whatever claim on that shore, a claim on the animal, that you owe me something back. And in theory, the nizik can even take the animal away from the mazik and say, okay, you're paying me back with this. The damage was a $500. That animal's $500. Good. Just as an example, I'm taking that animal as payment for the nizik. The real taina, of course, right? The real taina, of course, that the nizik would have is on the owner of the animal. Your animal did damage, that's true, I have a tain on you. Here, the way Tosafot explains, they have the following dynamic. Okay, the owner has the right to go to the shomer and say, hey shomer, you messed me up over here. You caused me a loss of money by allowing the animal to go out and do damage. So the shomer pays not in theory to the nizuk, but the shomer is paying back to the bailim who got messed up because of that shomer. So it's true that if you're watching the scene unfold in front of your eyes, the shomer might be writing a check and giving it out to the nizik. But the reason why the shomer is the guy that's writing the check giving it to the nizik is because instead of having to go in circles, nizik goes over to the bailim, the bailim writes the check, the shomer reimburses the bailim, we let you just do it and get to the bottom line, the shomer is the guy who pays the nizik, but that's not really, according to Tosas, the actual theory of the chiyuv. What was that? But so I'm really compensating the bailim for the loss that I would have caused them by them being responsible to pay back to the nizik. Now, there's a very, very long siman, actually two simanim, in the Chidushe Grach al Rambam, Chaim's Chidushim on the Rambam, Peredalav Hilchos Nizkim, the first two pieces there, at least four, five, six pages of Rav Chaim describing and explaining the details of that machlokas of Baruch Be'er. Again, we discussed last night Rav Chaim's Talmud in the Birka Shmuel. I think it's in Siman Zayin and Siman Ches. In the Birka Shmuel has also two long simanim explaining the rhyme and reason behind that machlokas. Without getting into all of that right now, it is a rather large discussion. If you want in the Beis Medrash, you're certainly free to go look up either one of those two manim mekamos. They get a lot, both them into the sugyas of Shomer Shemaser the Shomer and some other side issues that are there as well. But just be aware, there is a machlokas Rashba Tosis, as we described a moment ago, about what's happening in Gemara. And let's go weiter. Says the Gemara like this. Okay, we're off now on a tangent. We're not even explaining the mission at this stage in the game, and just into another discussion. It's actually very relevant to Parshas Hashavua about the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. So let's pay attention. We'll have something to say on Shabbos. What was that? Okay, that'll be a good sign. So, I mean, here's the Shem. Okay, we'll see by the end of the week. Now, the Gemara says like this: Itmar. We say over a machlokas between two Amoraim. Again, I'm assuming you're aware, whenever you see the Gemara has that line, Itmar, we're not going to be quoting a Mishnah Braisa. We're quoting a known machlokas amongst Amoraim that's not found in a real Chazal source. It says like this: Shomer Aveda. We have a guy who's known as a Shomer Aveda. He's the person, as Rashi points out over here, Hichnis Avedas Chaveiro the Beiso. I saw something lost out in the street. I bring it home to watch. Kid Dichsev, like the Torah says in Sheni of Parshas Kisei, Asafto Otov Beisecha. You see the thing, you gather into your house to watch. And until you get to return that item, you are called a Shomer Aveda. Very simple term. I'm watching the thing until he can return. What's the status of the Shomer Aveda? What are his responsibilities? So Rabba Omar, Kishomer Chinam Dami. Rabbi says you're nothing more than a Shomer Chinam. You're watching the guy's stuff for free. You're not responsible unless you're negligent. Nothing more than that. The Yosef Omar, no, Kishomer Sachar Dami. You are considered a Shomer Sachar, which means that you're chayiv for Geneva, for Aveda. If it gets stolen or lost, basic things you're responsible for, not only for negligence. Although, of course, you're going to be exempt for an onus. What was that? Very good. So obviously the Gemara is going to point out and discuss that incredibly important and obvious point. The Gemara says like this: Rabba Omer Kishomer Chinam Dami, because Maya No Kamati. Rabba says you're Shomer Chinam because, as you just pointed out, Maya No Kamati. What on earth is he getting? Where am I getting paid? What am I getting out of this? I'm doing a mitzvah to watch the guy's Azazel until I can give it back. I'm a Shomer Chinam. The Yosef Omar, a very famous principle in Shas. Never forget this the rest of your life, okay? Very ABC Torah terminology. The Yosef Omar, your Shomer Sachar, why? The Ahiyana, with that Hana, the Loboyla Mesavli Rifta La Anya, that you don't have to give a Rifta, you don't have to give a loaf of bread to the Ani who comes knocking on your door. Heavy Kishomer Sachar, you're considered a Shomer Sachar. What does that mean? The Rashi explains very quickly. You're called Osik B'mitzvah, Potem in a Mitzvah. I'm involved in the Mitzvah of a Shabbos Aveda. Now, the Ani comes and says, can I have some tzedakah? Can I have a donation? 10 shekel. You say, I'm busy. I'm Osik Mitzvah, Potem in a Mitzvah. You just gained something now out of being involved as a Shomer Aveda, says Rabbi Yosef. That's called a Shomer Sachar. Now, the Shittim of Kibetz is another Rishonim bring, and he's quoting from the various Rishonim. They point out a very important principle here in this Gemara, that the fact that you're getting Tzchar for a mitzvah, right, that is not going to make you be called a Shomer Sachar. Tzchar mitzvah is good for the seminaries, but in the world of halacha, right, the world of bottom line, the learning, being a getting Tzchar for your Olam Haba, that is not going to count as a Shomer Sachar. You got to get some money in your pocket. You got to get something in this world to be called a Shomer Sachar. So Rabbi Yosef has a very ingenious idea. In all of the Rishonim, you'll see in many places throughout Shas, they refer to this principle of Rabbi Yosef called the Pruta de Rabbi Yosef. What does that mean? The Rabbi Yosef's chiddush is that if you save a Pruta by being involved in a mitzvah, that's called the schar that you're getting, and what do you call it? You can end up being called a Shomer Sachar. Now, there is a Gemara in the Darim that Tosafot discusses, and that's Lamed Gimel. The Gemara points out the Pruta de Rabbi Yosef lo shchiyah. Okay, the Gemara points out that idea that you're actually going to get the Pruta that Rabbi Yosef spoke about is not necessarily a common thing. It's not necessarily normal that you end up making money, so to speak, off of the Shabbos Aveda. But nevertheless, that's enough to be called a shomer socher. The fact that you might be saving money, is the fact that you might be getting money out of the deal, that's already sufficient to be called a shomer socher. Now, Tosis over here, actually, before we get into the Tosis, let's finish up two more lines of the Gemara. Ika de mefarshei hachi. Others explain slightly differently. That Rabbi Yosef Amar kishomer socher dami. Why? Kevin de rachmana shi abdei baal korche. Since the Torah obligates you against your will, you have to do that mitzvah. Hilchav kishomer socher dami. Therefore, you like a shomer socher. The pashas is, again, the sheet quotes from various Rishonim. The Gemara is saying it is as follows. If the Torah is making you do that particular mitzvah, the Torah expects you to be responsible. The Torah is imposing a chiyuv on you to be shomer. What does the Torah want? That you're going to be a fool and be kicked back, laid back about your shmir. The Torah is telling you to be careful with this guy's thing. That we stick on you the rules of a shomer socher, despite the fact that you're not really getting any actual schar out of that thing. Again, not because you're getting schar mitzvah, but if the Torah is demanding that you do it, Torah wants you to be serious. Now, Tosas here points out a couple of very important chidushim. Anytime you have this Gemara, you notice on the side they point out it's in two places in Bamitsi and Shavuos and Dharma. It comes up all over the place, and then we show them it's mamish and a lot of different examples. Tosas in every one of these places points out the following discussion. Okay? This idea that I'm an osik b'mitzvah, potim in a mitzvah. The ani comes to the door, I don't have to give him a loaf of bread or prut or anything like that. I make money. Now, what does that mean? So Tosas over here, we're going to get into a machlokas and Rishonim over here right now, says like this. It goes without saying, when we mention the idea of osek b'mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah, okay? That, and just, again, I'm explaining with terms outside of Tosas. Tosas doesn't use all these words, but these are the concepts that are there. That the mere fact that I'm being mekayim a mitzvah, that I'm fulfilling a mitzvah right now, is not enough to exempt me from having to do another mitzvah. Tosas gives an example. The fact that I'm walking around wearing tzitzit all day long, okay, doesn't mean that I don't have to bench. Right? Why? The fact that I'm getting a mitzvah passively doesn't exempt me from other things. A classic example that the Rishonim already asked as a question over here. Actually, let me give some other examples first, and we'll get into the more humorous examples that are there. So it's the point that you're wearing tefillin, right? Are you putter from Kriya Shema because you're wearing tefillin? Do you not have to daven because I'm wearing my... It doesn't make any sense, right? If the fact that I'm getting the mitzvah tefillin right now doesn't exempt me from other mitzvahs. One example that Tosis doesn't bring, which some of the Rishonim, there's a sefer called the Marach Or Zeruah, the son of the Or Zeruah, one of the late Rishonim, asked, why didn't Tosis give a more simple example that you're never free from? He speaks about tzitzis and tefillin, etc. The classic example of a mitzvah that you're doing all the time in theory is what? Well, it's a little bit too seminary-like. What was that? Bris Mila. You're walking around with your bris. You can't separate yourself from that, right? So ask, what was that? Oh, so then we get into a whole discussion over here, what exactly the gather of the mitzvah bris Mila is. Marach Or Zeruah points out that you might have thought bris Mila is a one-time mitzvah, right? A one-time thing. Well, why would I discuss bris Mila over here? But we point out a well-known Gemara, Menachos of Kaf Tes, everybody knows, famous story of David HaMelech going to the base of Merchat, saying, I'm arum min a mitzvah, I'm depressed, I'm not fulfilling any mitzvahs right now, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do? A common feeling that we all have, oh my gosh, I'm not doing a mitzvah, what am I supposed to do with my life? And what comforts David HaMelech? Everyone knows this Gemara, what? What? He looks down as he's showering and says, hey, bris mila, oh great, fine, I'm always doing a mitzvah. Marach Or Zeruah points out, you seem to see from that Gemara that bris mila was an ongoing mitzvah. The Maisa mitzvah might have been a one-time thing, but the kiyum of the mitzvah of the bris is the reality, the existence of having a bris mila on you. So ask the Marach Or Zeruah, right, why is it that Tosas didn't bring that as one of his examples? It seems to be a better example. Can you even medayik from the Tosas maybe, what was that? Because you're always doing it. It's the most easy example. What are you going to say? I never have to do anything ever because I got a bris mila when I'm 8 days old? Right? That can't make any sense, right? But according to Tosas' example, the person can say, okay, but what about when I'm not wearing tzitzit? What about when I'm not, right? The bris mila is something that would manage not get every other mitzvah in the world, right? Okay, so that's a side discussion between Mephalpil back and forth about the examples that Tosas brings. Why doesn't he bring the smila, etc.? Again, a discussion many Achronim have as well. But then Tosas goes on and says this. So what's the yisod? What's the principle over here? The Chazal used the expression, and the expression we're always going to find is, Osek b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah. Tosas says, rather the principle is, The only time you're exempt from another mitzvah is if you're actually osik, you're physically involved in the performance of a mitzvah. When I'm doing something, l'shem a mitzvah, that's when I'm potter in a mitzvah. When I'm not actually osik and physically involved in a mitzvah, I'm not potter from other things. So therefore, Tosa says, what's the deal with the shomer aveda? The Gemara here says that the shomer aveda is potter from giving tzedakah. Well, what's he doing? He's sitting in your house. So Tosa says, okay, so the only time that you're going to be potter is if you're actually doing something to upkeep the aveda. He gives an example. You're bringing it outside to let it air off. You found a carpet, you're dusting. You have to be doing something with that item. And that's why Tosa reiterates the idea that the Gemara points out, true to the Rabbi Yosef, as lo shchicha. This is not so common that the ani is going to knock on your door. Bidiyuk, at the moment, you happen to be shining the thing that you have found like that. But Einachanami, still in all, Rabbi Yosef is telling that the mere fact that there's a possibility, as remote as it might be, of getting schar, you're considered a shomer sachar. Now, here we come into one more machlok, and then we'll take the question. Let's read a little bit inside the Tosafot over here. It's 1, 2, you know what? Let's start from the beginning of the Tosafot. He says like this. I'm just giving a couple of words up. Davka b'shah shemis asek but. The only potter at the time that you're actually being involved physically in the mitzvah. You're going shoteach l'tzorcha. You're laying out, you're spreading out the aveda for its purpose. In other words, you're trying to maintain and upkeep the carpet that you found. Only shum asek shetzorech but the aveda. Or you're doing some shum asek, something that's needed for the aveda. Okay, here we have to listen carefully. About the shvil shaveda beveisa, but the mere fact that the aveda is in your house, lo yifta me lemeisa rifta le'aniya, you're not going to be potter from giving tzedakah to the ani. Kevin she yachol akayim shteim. Key phrase. You could do both. You could do both, Tosa says. What's stopping me from doing the second mitzvah, even though I'm being mekayim the mitzvah of a shavas aveda with that item in my house? Did the muchach besukah, like we learn, like is evident in the Masech besukah. Here's the important part of the Tosis. Now, the lo nafkalon mekrav the osik the mitzvah potem and a mitzvah and the davka heicha she'eno yochol lekayim shteim. The only time you're osik the mitzvah potem and a mitzvah is if I cannot perform both of those mitzvahs at the same time. If I'm too busy to do, if I'm preoccupied with one and I can't do the other, I'm not obligated to drop what I'm doing to go and perform the other mitzvah. Okay, then Tosafot goes on and gives those examples. If you look the Gra right, you have a note inside the Tosafot. Take a look in the Bira Gra over here. The Gra writes as follows. And the Gra points out that if you look there in the second parak in Sukkah, in the Rush, there's a commentary in the back of the Rush called the Agos Ashri, and quoted by the Ran as well. He was here. He is in the Shir, and he was here. There you go.
What is it?
It's nothing heavy.
It's an
add-on.
It's like some kind of
ointment.
Everyone doesn't know
him
over
here?
I don't know where
you're
going to
sleep tonight.
Oh, come
on, guys.
Yeah, he's sticking on the hill. He'll be back. He hasn't come out open. He's coming back. Now, the Tosafot now basically said as follows. Just to get back on track over here, we are shooting for an early let out night tonight over here. The Tosafot says, so that means Seder tonight.
Say that.
Okay.
The
and we have last night and the night before also to go over. Now, the Tosafot here again points out like this. The only time in Osik the mitzvah is part of a mitzvah is when you cannot perform both of the mitzvahs. I would have to stop doing one to go and perform the second mitzvah. According to Tosafot, the whole glorified principle of Osik the mitzvah, part of the mitzvah, just means you're not obligated to disrespect one mitzvah, chuck that, to go and do the other one. He quotes the Grover here in the name of the goes ushering the Ran and Sukkah, that they argue, mostly Shonim argue on this point in Tosafot. They say as follows, if you're physically involved in performing one mitzvah, okay, if you osik the mitzvah, even if you could do the second mitzvah, nevertheless, you are still potter from doing it. That's the real chiddush of osik the mitzvah, potter mitzvah. Not that I'm not mechuyev to stop one, etc. Even if I could do both. The rule, though, is I'm exempt from any other mitzvahs at the time that I'm doing mitzvah number one. So, for example, right, The person's in the middle of saying Kriya Shema. Now he's in the middle of saying Shema. Osik b'mitzvah. Somebody comes, a common occurrence, unfortunately. You have people coming and collecting tzedakah in the middle of Shul. Unfortunately means it's unfortunate people need tzedakah money. Someone comes collecting. You could stick your hand in your wallet and give the guy money during the middle of Kriya Shema. You could even stop what you're saying if you want to maintain kavana, give him the money like that. No, the rule is Osik b'mitzvah, putim in a mitzvah. And as the Ritzvah points out, then it took a kafei, it's usher to stop in the middle. Even though you could do both, there's nothing wrong in theory, there's nothing wrong with stopping and giving over the money. It's not going to prevent you reading the Kriya Shema. No, doesn't matter. Osik b'mitzvah, you are putter, and in fact, usher from doing other mitzvahs that are there. And again, our toast is over here, and Bava Kama, it comes up in some other places as well, but this is one of the clearest places. Toast is over here, right, that is not true. Toast the Shita is that the only time you're actually exempt from the second mitzvah, your mamish cannot do both at the same time. When you stick with the first one. Because the girl always points out whenever the machlokes. In other words, if a Tosa says something, that's a point of debate. The girl points out that not everyone agrees with this comment over here. According to this book, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. What was that? Does the or the rule argue on that ritual? I don't recall. Where is the other one? I don't remember. We'll double check after. There's always some argument. It's not, it? Could be, I don't remember a fan. Yeah. Is there a question? Or?
Yeah, I have a question. What if you're learning Torah and this is the
Sarah comes up? Because Sarah comes up from Torah. So you want to point out the fair question over there. Fascinating how much Derech Eretz goes on during night Seder that we miss out on the Talmud Torah. The Gemara points out a Moikan Daf Tes. The Gemara points out that Talmud Torah is an exception to the rule. Okay, let's get this straight over here. Exception to the rule. By Talmud Torah, we do not apply the principle Osik Mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. The Gemara says that, and the reason behind that is that since the whole point of the learning is on the Nas Lasso, the fact that you're learning doesn't exempt you from doing something else. The Gemara points out that there is a rule that says as follows. There's a very important limitation that comes up there in that Gemara. Again, that's Tess and Moikon. The Gemara says that there's a mitzvah that's Efshar Lassos Ayyidei Acherim. If that chesed or whatever it was, it's something that someone else could do. You don't have to do it. It needs to get done for the other people that could do it. You're sitting and learning. Let someone else bother themselves with that. Then you're not allowed to stop the learning to go and do the other mitzvah. The mitzvah is Efshar Lekaimeno Ayyidei Acherim. It's something that cannot be done by somebody. You have to do it, right? So then we say it doesn't matter that you're learning, you have to get up and go and do the other thing. Huh? What was that? We mean it's not an exception.
Only in the rare case only in the case where somebody else can do it. If you have good only to do it, then it's not an exception. Because how much are you have to
Right. That's totally true, but it's a major exception, right?
What if you do it and someone else can do it?
Sorry, one more time.
What if you just do it
and someone else can go do it? It depends on the circumstance. Depends on what's being asked. A lot of times, the fact that someone else could do whatever it was, bring the glass of water, but the parents asked you to do it, so then that's basically your chiyuv. In other words, it's not a general chiyuv; it's a very specific thing that you have to do. Yeah. Right, but that's exactly the idea. In other words, the fact that I might be getting some money out of this already is mishabing me to want to watch on a higher level. But that's after the fact. In other words, when I'm watching this thing right now, I know that there's a possibility that I might be gaining off the deal. Right? So that possibility of gaining, which I might even want to get, right, in theory, but that possibility that I have, that I might be gaining off the deal, is enough to be mechayev me to have a higher standard of shmira. Because I'm aware that this is not a nothing over here, that I have a vested interest in this. I don't know if I'm right. I might or I might not.
Same thing by,
That's true, but schar means a schar in this world. It means the money, and that's what Hashem HaSachar means. I might be getting money. That's very simple. I might be getting paid for it.
So I just think the word
the here and now with that and now that I don't have to give. The reality is, right, I do not have to give the money, the tzedakah, to the one who comes to the door. Right, that's a fact. Whether it's going to happen, not going to happen, that's a separate thing.
You don't have to give money.
Huh?
The
fact that I know that if an ani comes to the door when I'm being osek with this aveda, right, I'm not going to have to give him any money, that's enough to make me a shomer sachar. According in halachic terms, it's called mishtarshi. That's exactly what that means. Right. Now, the Gemara says like this. Now, the truth is, you'll notice that the Tosas that we were just looking at goes on a lot longer than the couple of lines we just read. Tosas brings a big machlokas amongst the Rishonim. Most of the Tosas is very, very technical. He brings a very large machlokas amongst the Rishonim. How do we pass him? We pass him like Rabbi, do we pass him like Rabbi Yosef? And he goes to a lot of different rules of how to, when you have machlokas in between Rabbi and Rabbi, who do we pass him like? What are the principles? Okay, that already is not for right now. The Gemara says like this. Let's pick up though from the bottom of the page on Nun Vav and Al, on the days, the last couple of words. It says, Eitzivei Rabbi Yosef, the Rabbi. Rabbi Yosef, again, is the one who holds that you're Shomer Sachar, asks Rabbi the following question. Again, some very simple, straightforward Shabbos Aveda principles over here. Like we said, we're going to get down to about halfway on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph also. It says as follows. If you return the Aveda to a place that the owners will see the Aveda, in other words, you don't actually give it to them, you didn't stick it in their mailbox, you put it somewhere on the front of the steps when they're coming home, whatever it is, they're going to see it. Okay? Eino chayev l'tapto, but and you're not responsible to be metapel, to deal with that aveda anymore. That's called, you gave it back, you returned it to them. Okay? But nignavo avda, but if it got stolen at that stage in him, or lost, chayav b'achriyusa, you are responsible to pay the guy back for the thing that got lost. In other words, it is a steal, we're going to talk about it just in 1 second. Also, right, you're responsible to pay, you weren't responsible, you left it out on the street, you left it on his yard, you didn't give it back to him. So says the Gemara, before we even get to the stealer, the Gemara just bothered by what the words mean. My nignavo avda. What does it mean when it says if it gets stolen or lost, you have to pay? Lav, is it not? The nignavo mi beso, the avda mi beso. Is it not? The simplest way to avoid having a stira is to say like this. When it says if it gets stolen or lost, you're responsible. That it means if it gets stolen or lost from where? From my house when I was a shomer aveda. In other words, the first way we're trying to read the brisa to avoid a stira, right, is to learn it. Okay, what do I have to do to return it? Put it back in a place where he's going to find it, where he'll see it. Okay, if I didn't do that yet, but I'm still a shomer aveda, I'm responsible to get stolen or lost. Says the Gemara, no, that's not what it means. The brisa flows very clearly. It means mimakom shehechzira. What it means is if the thing got lost or stolen from the place that I returned it to, I'm going to be chayiv to pay. Now, well, at this stage in the game, right, either way, whether that's the first way we read the brisa or the current way we're reading the brisa, we still have a kasha. If we're saying you are chayiv for geneva or aveda, what kind of a shomer are you? Too much time. If we're saying that you're chayiv for geneva or aveda, you are a shomer sachar. The Yosef is asking to rap over here. You see the fairs and the brisa that you're a shomer sachar. Okay. So the Gemara goes on and says like this, just to try to analyze the brisa, because the bottom line is all brisa doesn't make sense anyway, before you get to any answers here. Vaha katani, but wait a second, the Gemara says. But it says clearly, Eino chayev l'tapdel ba. But if we just learned that if you put it back on the guy's front step in a place that he's going to see it, you're not responsible for it anymore. So the whole brisa doesn't make sense. It's a stira mina yubay. It's an intrinsic and internal stira. So Omer Lay, so Rabbi says back, let me explain to you the whole brisa. Hachba Mayaskin, what are we talking about here? Kigon Sheikh Zira Bat Soharayim. The case is that you're putting the thing back on the guy's steps in the middle of the afternoon. The Tarti Katani, and there's two different points that are being brought out over here. Vahachi Katani, and this is the way the brisa is meant to be read. Hey Chzira Shachris Lamakam Shir Enam. If you return the item in the morning, to a place where the guy will see it. As the box has changed to one letter over here, the shchiach da'ayo v'nafik, it's normal that the guy will come in or out of his house, the chazi, and he'll see that item. Eino chayav l'tapo, though, you are not responsible anymore, because you basically returned it. You put it in a place where you know he's going to get it back. Hechziru b'tzaharayim, but on the other hand, if in the middle of the afternoon you put the same aveda in the same place, lamakom shiyarena, it's in a place where you should see it, the lo shchiyach da'ayav v'nafik, the lo chazila, it's not so normal in the middle of the afternoon, the guy's at work, he's not going to be coming or going out of the house, he's not going to see it, and nignavo of the, at that stage in the game it got lost or stolen, you're chayav v'achli yusa. Why are you chayav in achlayis if it gets lost or stolen, he stuck it out in the street on the front steps of his house in the middle of the afternoon? Maybe Rabbi is trying to defend even a Shomer Chinam is Chayev. Why? Shomer Chinam is Chayev for what? For Pshia. Says Rabbi, that's exactly what's happening over here. In the middle of the afternoon, when you know the guy is not coming in and out of his house, he's not coming for hours, you stick the Aved in a place that he should find it when he comes home, but Lamais is sitting on his front steps. What's going to happen when whoever it is walking down the street and he notices that there is whatever it is and a TV sitting on that guy's front step, it's calling out, steal me, steal me, steal me. That's not called being a shomer on the aveda that you had. You put a mamishin in a public place over there. That's called pshia. That's where you're going to be chayv. Eisvei, another question. It says in the Brisa, olam uchayv ashiach zivena rishuso. It says you are always chayv until you put it back into his rishut. Now, the Gemara questions, my li olam. What does it mean you're always chayiv? Always chayiv for everything. It sounds like it's being all inclusive. Always, always, always have to pay. Glad is it not? Afilu mi beso. I'm always chayiv, even if it gets stolen from my house. As Rashi points out, henicha motzei bebeso. If the guy you found it, put it in his house, he's chayiv no matter what's going to happen. So shmami no kishomer socher dami. It sounds like we're saying that you are a shomer socher. Even if you put it back in the house, you're responsible for no matter if you're getting lost for anything. So says the Gemara, no, that is not what's happening. Omer lei, Rabbi says back like this: modina loch b'balei chayim. The one thing I'm going to grant you is that when you're dealing with animals, okay, for an animal that got lost, yeah, you're going to be responsible if it gets lost when you're watching it as well. You're a shomer aved, you find the lost horse, right, and you brought it back to your house, you stick it in your corral, and it escapes, it gets lost again, you're responsible. Why? Kevin the nakte lehu nigra. Since it learned how to step, that's why Rashi translates that expression. Naka means it was grabbed by step. We see that this is an animal that likes to walk around, it likes to escape, it got lost once before. Then, given the Naktiv and Lunigra Baraisa, since it likes to step Baraisa outside, it likes to walk around, the animal got lost. It got lost once, you should realize that it might get lost a second time. Boy, what was that? Naktiv literally means grab, overcome a bite, right? It's overcome by stepping around outside. The animal likes to run, it likes to play. So boy in a teirusa yisirasa, that animal requires even more shmira. And if you find the animal, but you, right, it got lost once, you found it, then you just put it in your house and walk away, that wasn't enough. You should have locked the door, put some kind of a higher fence, whatever it is. You have to be extra careful over there. That's why you're chayiv. It's viewed as a kind of a pshia, basically. Even if you were a shomer chinam, it's still your fault. One more kasha and then we're done. Eisivir Rabbi Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi comes along and asks Rabbi Yosef. And again, Rabbi is the man domer who says that you're a shomer chinam. So we're going to try to show that you're not chayiv for geneva of Yaveda. The question was as follows. We quote again a pasuk in the sixth parasha. Hoshev, the pasuk reads, Hoshev teshiv em liachicha. Return the thing to your friend. Eimi ele bebeso. All I would learn out from that pasuk is that I have to return the item to his house. As Rashi points out, Hashava mal yasa. You have to really return it. A great, super duper accurate, and stick it in his house. Liginaso ulachorvaso mina. And how do I know that I'm yosef in the midst of Hashava Savid? If I put it back in his yard, if I put it back in a churva, he has some ruins, some broken shack in the back of his house, if I stick it in there, that it's good enough. Tamalomer tishivim, a double lasha. Mikomako, no matter where you return, you put it back, that's fine. So my liginoso or churbasa. The Gemara now questions. Rabbi is trying to build his point. What does it mean if you turn the thing to a yard or to a ruin that was there? Ilema liginoso mishtemeres or churbasa mishtemeres. If you're going to tell me that you're returning to a ruin or to a garden that's actually guarded, that's safe, Hainu Beis, so that's the same exact thing as putting it back in his house. It's identical. Ela Pshita, it must mean, Leginaso She'ena Mishtemez, or Lecharvaso She'ena Mishtemez. It must mean you're putting it back in a place that is slightly less safe than the guy's house. It's not so guarded at all. And Shmamina Kishomer Chinam Dami. And you would infer from there that the person is nothing more than a Shomer Chinam. Because a Shomer Sachar has to be very responsible, right? You have to make sure that it's not going to get lost again, not stolen. Here, for a Shomer Chinam, I put it back in his property. Aye, it's not so safe in the back, you're right. But it's in his yard, it's in his shack, it's in the back over there. It's not a Pshi, it's in his house. He might have put it there also, for all I know. A Shomer Chinam should be potter for such a thing. Omer Leav Yosef says back, no. Liolam Laginasa Mishtameris Lukhurbasa Mishtameris. The case is, and the only way you go to the Ashavas of Ages is if you put it back in a safe place. Or the Kakashiyalach Hainu Beiso. And when you were asking me before, but that means it's the same as putting it back in his house. Why does the Bryce have to include that you're Yosef if you put it back in a guarded place? That's obvious. Hakamashwan, this is what it's teaching me. The Lo Be'inan Das Bailim, that you do not require the knowledge of the owners, or could there be Allah's like of Allah's taught to Omar Balaz are called three Khandaz Bailim Khut Mea Shavata Veda. Generally speaking, Rabbi Allah says, if you're a shomer, okay, God gave me something to watch, and I want to give it back to him, the owner has to know that I'm returning it back to him. I'm a ganav, I stole something, and I want to return the thing, Hashavas HaGezela, and when I to give it back to the Yotze, the mitzvah of Hashava, the person has to know that I'm giving it back. But by Hashava Saveda, we have one, that's the exception to the rule. If I return it to him, and he didn't even know that I did it, he'll figure it out later on, I'm still Yotze. Shahari Ribsa Bo Torah Hashava Otarvi, because the Torah includes a lot of Hashavos. In other words, the double Lashon, Hashav Teshivim, is coming along to tell me that any level of Hashava is going to be good enough. So yes, I have to give it back to a safe place, that's true. But the point is, if I'm putting it in his yard, or I'm putting it in his shack, okay, even though they're safe, but the bottom line is, the guy might not see it. It's in some place. When was the last time you went to your shed? When's the last time you took a survey of your yard to look in every nook and cranny? He doesn't know that I returned it. Nevertheless, I'm Yosef the mitzvah Shabbat Aveda, even by putting it back over there in the yard, or whatever it's going to be. Okay, that is the end of tonight's Gemara. We're actually going to start with something else. Amir Sashem tomorrow night. Once again, Rabbi Yosef, a reminder that right following the Seder, which